The epistle for this feast of the Holy Family is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Brethren, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace, indeed, you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. Not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And they did not understand the word that was spoken to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, I think you all are aware of the fact that modern society hates families. Modern society, pop culture, is directed towards pleasure and wealth. Families are an obstacle to those goals. And very sadly, it seems like the church has even gotten in on this battering of families, recently proving blessings for same-sex couples. These couples that are in relationships that are against the plan of God, that are against the family, because family is only between a man and a woman. And if you want to attack the family, then you have to attack the components of the family. One man, one woman, man or woman are the components of the family. And especially you want to attack the head of the family, the man who's in charge, the leader of the family. And so men are under attack today. There's an effort to make men anything but what they need to do in order to fulfill their God-given role as husbands and fathers. The typical man that modern society creates today is one who is not in a position to be a good husband and a father. Typical man today that is created by society is soft, pleasure-seeking, selfish, emasculated. What are the means that society uses to tear down men? What are the resources that it has available to it to soften men, to emasculate them men, to denature them from what God has made them to be? Well, especially the endless entertainments and escapes that it places before men at every step of their path in this life. It's by investing themselves in these escapes, in these pleasures, that men often lose their willpower, become so soft that they're not able to do anything with determination. Think about the endless video games that are out there. There's all kinds of different video games, and they're designed in such a way that they pull you in, and you become quickly addicted to them. You want to play them obsessively and until you reach the end. The end is continually being put further off. And of course, playing a video game, you're not living in the real world. It's not reality. So they're sucking these men and spending hours in an unreal world. The men become less and less capable of living in the real reality. And we're playing video games as an adult, then it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to push the virtual world aside and live in the real world. This is the world that we men have to live in, the real world that God has created, not some virtual world of man's creation that entertains us. Much bigger problem, even than the video games, of course, is the relentless assault on men by shameless women who do not hesitate to strip themselves naked on the internet, women by the millions, who the men do not know, and they do not know the men, but they're willing to degrade themselves in this way just to get a click, just to get some advertising revenue, to sell the manhood of these men to the advertisers in order to gain money. And as I see it, it is a relentless assault on the men. And the men who too often give in to this temptation, because there's an epidemic of pornography addiction in this country. The men who give in to this temptation, they become very carnal. They become addicted to carnal pleasure. They lose their spirit of determination. They lose their willpower. They become very soft. They're broken down by their sensuality. There's such a push today to get men to entertain themselves and pleasure themselves and to break down their willpower. Meanwhile, there's no concerted effort, as there should be, to build up in men the qualities that they need to have, the strength that they need to have. On the contrary, there is an assault, or there's a certain campaign against real manhood. You know, there's this phrase, toxic masculinity. And okay, maybe there's some aspects of the things that are criticized that are not good. But by and large, what is identified as toxic masculinity is simply men being men, where men are made very different from women, and naturally, men, for instance, speak more directly than women. They're not as delicate in their speech as women. The man typically is idealistic. He has higher goals, and he sticks to them no matter what. The man is naturally inclined to use his physical strength to protect his family, especially his wife and his daughters, to be protective, to guard them. Man who is a true man willingly takes on responsibilities, willingly shoulders difficulties. A real man faces difficulties and even enjoys being challenged, enjoys being asked to go beyond himself and not to spare himself in meeting the challenges of his life. The real man is one who does not crumble when things become difficult, but rather he keeps going no matter what. He's like a rock. The real man is someone who has strong principles, and he doesn't budge when it's a question of those principles being questioned or being tried to be compromised. So all of these typical aspects of what we should expect in a man are under attack today. And the result is that there's a self-perpetuating problem. The men are not real men, and then if they happen to have children, when they go to raise their boys and communicate to their boys all that they need for their boys to grow up to be men, they're not capable of doing that. They're too soft. They're just living their life for their selfish interests, for their own pleasures. And so the boys are not being equipped to, when they grow up, step up to the responsibilities of being a father and a husband. And I think we're all aware of this. I think we're all aware that there is this attack on manhood. And what I want to emphasize is that it's so important for us not just to identify problems and then become victim to them ourselves. We must both identify that this is happening and make sure that we do not fall prey to these things, that we have the strength to keep ourselves pure from this world. The thing that society desperately needs today is good Catholic families. You know, this is something we add to our rosary. This is a custom in the SSPX, all of our houses. We add at the end of our rosary prayers to God for vocations, and at the end we say, Lord, grant us many holy Catholic families. The world needs good Catholic families to fix the problems it's in, and to have good Catholic families, it needs good Catholic men, strong Catholic men. What do I mean by strong Catholic men? I mean men who set as their ideal, the ideal of their life, the imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not the imitation of some football player, not the imitation of some Hollywood star, not the imitation of some MMA fighter or some womanizing politician, but the imitation of our Lord, the God-man. They must have this desire to serve our Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, to serve his kingship, to serve his church, in fulfilling their vocation in this life. And this is one of the things, the main things that the Holy Name Society is meant to communicate to you men, is to give you this sense, to help you have this sense of your role in your family, in your life, if you're single, your role of being a spiritual leader, of someone who sets the standard for that imitation of our Lord. And if we have real men in this parish, and we do have real men in this parish, thanks be to God, we have a certain immunity to these problems that I've been talking about. But if that's the case, it's because these men are conscious of the standard that is being set for them by our Lord. They have our Lord as their ideal. Think of where we would be without him, without our Lord leading the way and showing us the direction, showing us the path that we have to follow in this life. Our Lord proposes to us men a supernatural goal as the primary goal of our life. And when we have a supernatural goal and we want to pursue that above all things, this really helps us to detach ourselves from the world and its pleasures. We're not interested. Don't want that. This is something that's going to keep me away from my goal. And I have this goal, the supernatural goal. I have to get to heaven. I have to imitate our Lord. Our Lord proposes to us a code of morality to follow, a system of behavior. He indicates to us what is sin, what is virtue. We know what is right and wrong. And so we're motivated to move ourselves towards the good, to avoid the evil. Think of the men out there who don't have this training, who don't have this awareness, and they're just doing whatever feels right. That's where we would be as well if we did not have this direction from our Lord. Our Lord gives us the sense of the self-control that we are meant to maintain. And he also gives us a mission in our life. It's from our Lord. We receive this mission, this vocation. You know that you are meant, if you're single, to pursue the religious life, the priesthood, or the married life. That's the mission that God has given you. And if you're a married man, if you're a husband and a father, you know that your primary role is to lead them to heaven. You are to be the spiritual leader of your family. And that's the main thing that your family needs from you. Your family needs you to follow our Lord. Society needs you to follow our Lord. That's the main contribution that you have to make in your life. And of course, our Lord is the one who is most attacked today. There is no one who stands more in the way of the agenda, whether it's a conspiracy or not. I don't care. I do know people like to make money and corruption sells. So this agenda to tear down men today, our Lord is the primary one who stands in the way. He is holiness itself. He is the perfect representative of manhood. He is the one, as I say, who motivates us to say no to all those things. And so step aside of those toxic elements of pop culture. So be assured that to the degree that you follow our Lord in your life and you honor him to that degree, you are the man that you are supposed to be. And your membership in the Holy Name Society especially has you focus on the fulfillment of two commandments. You know that the first three commandments concern the honor of God. And the Holy Name Society is asking you to be a leader in honoring God in the second and the third commandments. The second commandment, where you pledge yourself against blasphemy, against profanity, against profane speech. You pledge yourself even to defend the name of our Lord in public, in the workplace. If you hear people using the name of our Lord or using the name of God, this is what we will soon say in the pledge in the midst of the ceremonies. I pledge myself against this improper use of speech, the dishonoring of God through the speech. And this is a very good thing to pledge ourselves to, because it helps us be conscious of the self-control that we should have with our words. It helps us be conscious of the nobility that we are called to as Catholic men, where our speech reflects our attachment to our Lord. Our speech honors our Lord. Then your membership as well has you focus on the third commandment, that other commandment that's directed towards God, keeping holy the Lord's day, keeping Sunday holy, where you, as the leader of your family, you make sure that your family gets to Mass on Sunday. You're like St. Joseph in today's gospel, where it says every year they were traveling to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. You're getting your family together. You're making sure that they're dressed for Sunday, that they have formal wear on when they come to Sunday, because that is how you honor our Lord. You dress up for the occasion. This is the occasion when we worship God, so we're going to dress up. You arrive on time. You assist at Mass. You're present at Mass. You're devoutly worshiping God at Mass. You're not out smoking a cigarette out on the steps. And you keep the day holy, even the rest of the day when you leave church. You don't engage in servile work. You don't work on the Sunday. You know how we're becoming soft today because there's fewer men out there. We more easily excuse ourselves from coming to Mass on Sunday. It's just the priest notices that there's some families just don't make it every Sunday. And perhaps they have a legitimate excuse, but I know it's easy to slip into this frame of mind where you say, I've got a little headache, or there's a few snowflakes out on the road, and so we'll just watch the live stream Mass. We're not going to make it to Mass. But meanwhile, other people drive a very great distance to get here to Mass. And this has such a huge impact on your family. The efforts that you men make to get your family to Mass each Sunday, unless there's something really extraordinary, tells the kids, this is extremely important. We're going to make the effort. We have this modern transportation that makes things so easy and comfortable. We have so many comforts today. And a lot of times we can make it. So I do not want to leave you just with my words, because there's a priest much holier than I am who has some thoughts on this necessity we have to fight against blasphemy and to keep the Sundays holy. And I'm speaking about the Holy Curie of ours, St. John Marie Vianney. You know, in ours, this little town was just falling into paganism when he showed up. And there were two things especially, but actually three things he especially railed against and worked against insistently from the pulpit. Blasphemy, eliminating blasphemy from the speech of his people, honoring the Sunday, and eliminating dancing. Regarding blasphemy, he says, "Is it not an astounding miracle that the house of a blasphemer is not struck by lightning or by some other misfortune? If the sin of blasphemy is rampant in your home, it will surely perish." And once there was a priest who took a teenage boy from his parish down to ours, and they both went to confession. And he said to the boy, after they went to confession, he says, "Hey, I'm going to say Mass. You can go to communion at my Mass." And the boy said, "Father, I can't go to communion. I went to confession to the Curia of ours, and he denied me absolution. I confessed blasphemy against the holy name of God. And he told me that he would not give me absolution, but that I had to go a certain period of time, prove that I would stop blaspheming, and then I would get absolution." When it came to preaching about keeping Sunday holy, this holy man would get very worked up. He was so conscious of the honor due to God by his creatures. He would weep. He would rail in indignation against those who were given so much time by God, but they couldn't make the effort just to make it to Mass on Sunday, one day of the week, or who would be so wrapped up in their own interests, their own monetary interests, that they would work on Sunday. One day when he was preaching about the third commandment, he said, "You labor, but what you earn proves the ruin of your soul and your body. If we ask those who work on Sunday, 'What have you been doing?' they might answer, 'I have been selling my soul to the devil and crucifying our Lord. I am doomed to hell.' When I behold people driving carts on Sunday, it seems to me I see them carting their souls to hell." And then one day, one Sunday in July, he was out walking, and he was walking down the road, and there was one of his parishioners who was out doing his harvest. And the parishioner saw him, and he's like, "Oh no, there's my parish priest." So he ran behind his cart to try to hide from St. John Marie Vianney, but it was too late. The saint saw him. So the saint walked up to the cart, and he said to him, "Oh, my friend, you seem very much surprised to find me here, but the good God sees you at all time. He it is whom you must fear. You have to have a sense of the honor due to God and pay him that homage." So, dear men, I want to encourage you on this Sunday to show forth a manly determination, especially in your commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ, to will to serve him with constancy and fidelity in your life, and not let anything shake you from that determination. Your family needs you, and you need our Lord in order to do justice by them. Strengthen yourself in his service today and be the man that God has meant you to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.